You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. The Bills are 3-0, but plenty of questions still surround the team as they've had to use come-from-behind victories and closer calls than we would want in their three victories, and the undefeated New England Patriots are coming to town. As always, you can call in your questions at 716-508-0405, and we have a bunch of them this week on voice. You can tweet us your questions at Rumblings Q&A with the word and spelled out in the middle. Instagram messages, Facebook messages, you can leave comments in the comment section at BuffaloRumblings.com. And we've had a lot of articles that have had questions at BuffaloRumblings.com. I've been diving into the comment section, so have a lot of our writers, so make sure you're going there as well. Slow starts, late game adjustments, what's happening with the Buffalo Bills offense, all of that in today's episode. So stick around as we tackle all these questions. Before we get to our five observations from the week, I wanted to draw your attention to an article I wrote at BuffaloRumblings.com on Monday, and that's just how the AFC playoff picture is shaping up. And I know it's early, but Buffalo is two games up on the sixth and final playoff spot right now after just 3 weeks, with the team in the sixth playoff spot right now at 1-2. So with that, it's really not too early to look at how the AFC is kind of shaping up in 2019. The Bills are, of course, also tied for the division lead right now as they welcome the New England Patriots to New Era Field this Sunday. Both teams at 3-0, both looking to get to 4-0 a quarter of the way through the season. But the Bills are one of the teams in the AFC that's taking care of business, and I think that's important to note. And as you look around, there's not a ton of other teams that you're really worried about. The Chargers are struggling and have injury and holdout concerns. The AFC South is all beating up on each other, and that's going to continue throughout the season. The Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of adrift right now, especially without Ben Roethlisberger. But even before that, they weren't playing great in week one. It's just there's a lot of things that are happening in the AFC that's really going to help the Bills down the stretch. Even look at the AFC East. The Jets and Dolphins are winless, and the Dolphins are looking like they're not even really trying. So if you look at the Bills schedule shaping up, if they just beat teams that are winless right now, that's six more wins. That gets them to 9 wins on the season and on the cusp of a playoff berth by just beating the teams that don't currently have a win. If you're talking about all the teams that are below 500 that are left on their schedule, I mean, they're 11 wins already. So it's not too early to have this conversation, Bills fans. I know that a lot of you might think it is, but the way that if the Bills don't make the playoffs this year, it's probably going to be disappointing. And of course, barring some sort of injury or something like that. But it's just the way that their schedule and the way that the AFC East and the AFC in general is shaping up, it's what we talked about during the playoff drought, that sometimes there are years that are fluky and your schedule lines up with the rest of the AFC being in a down year and you make the playoffs even if you're not that great. Well, the Bills might be that good and all of that stuff is still shaping up. I know that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott wanted to tamp down those expectations at the beginning of the year. I think they really thought that year four was going to be the year that they made that playoff push. But with the way it is now, they can get those young guys some playoff reps in year three of the Bean-McDermott regime. And in year four, they can really make a push into the deep part of the playoffs if they get some experience this year. So it really is setting up for them nicely, even if it is a year earlier than they anticipated. Let's get to those five observations. If the Bills are going to make some sort of playoff run, they are going to need to learn how to close out a game. And that was the first bullet point I wrote on Sunday after the game. And it's something I've written every week so far, is that the Bills haven't figured out how to put away a team yet. They were allowing, I think they allowed one first down in the first half against the Bengals. They were clearly a much better team on offense, a much better team on defense, but they let Cincinnati back in the game. And that's something they can't do against better teams. It's something they're going to have to learn coming down the stretch. Going along with that, Josh Allen, the headline I wrote was Josh Allen, what'd you do? And it's the hero ball stuff. And we love the hero ball stuff when it works, like when he rolls out, drops the ball, picks it up, finds a guy, gets 2 yards. That's a great play. But you have to also understand that, you know, intentional grounding is a bad play. And you know, throwing it to the opposing team on, you know, a desperation heave when your guy can't even come back to the ball is not a good look. And sometimes taking a sack is the best play. It's frustrating when you love the fact that he can make those plays and make magic happen sometimes, but also have to take that bad stuff with it. And that's one of the reasons why I keep comparing him to Brett Favre and not Cam Newton like everybody else seems to be doing. You have to take the good with the bad with guys like that. And even some of the shots that he takes down the field. There was the one play where he threw it deep into the end zone. And Dre Kirkpatrick came over and knocked it down. And it probably should have been closer to the sideline to give his receiver the only shot at it. If Kirkpatrick was going for the interception, he probably intercepts it, touchback, and the scoring opportunity is done. So it's something where you have to take the good with the bad. My third bullet point from the game was Dawson Knox is really helping Josh Allen. And I actually wrote that before Dawson Knox pile-drived a dude into the ground on that late run after the catch. Knox is making himself available to Allen on some scramble plays. He is certainly doing a great job of blocking. He is really helping out this offense in a lot of different ways, and we thought it was going to be Tyler Kroft doing that, helping out the offense, but Knox has really stepped up. I thought it was going to take a year for Knox to really find his groove at the NFL level. It's just hard for a tight end to transition. Even Knox said that his touchdown on Sunday was his first since junior year of high school. So it's not like we were expecting him to come in and like light the scoreboard on fire or anything like that. But he's really come in and proven that he belongs right away. And all the rookies really have. And it's just a credit to Brandon Bean and his staff. Next up is Trey Day, Tre'Davious White, who had himself a game against the Cincinnati Bengals, 2 interceptions, including the game-clinching interception late in the fourth quarter. He got a lot of heat after the first 2 weeks of the season because he had been giving up some passes. But if you look at what he's been asked to do in the defense, he's asked to keep stuff in front of him and then make the tackle. And he has done that over and over again this year and really in the past. He was able to... I mean, he's allowing short passes and then making a tackle. So like a comeback route for 4 yards and making a tackle, a screen route and then making a tackle. So he's giving up catches, but they're not catches that are really going to hurt the defense. And he's just been very good. And a lot of the times he's on the opponent's best wide receiver. So as we get into a little bit meatier part of the schedule with a little bit better starting wide receivers, we'll see what he's really made of. But he had a great day on Sunday, and I think he's been a little bit dinged this year by local and national media folks, and deserves a little bit more credit. Finally, my last critical part of the five observations piece was about Cody Ford. The Cody Ford right tackle experiment needs to end now. He was not very good at right tackle. Even when he got bumped inside to guard, he allowed that pressure on Josh Allen that eventually led to the interception. It's not in his best interest to keep him in the game if he's not ready for it. And it's not in the Bills' best interest either. So at this point, it just feels like hubris that they drafted him in the second round to be a right tackle. So we're just going to put him there and, you know, damn the torpedoes. I don't care about the consequences. He's much better at guard. And even, like I said, at guard, he had problems on Sunday. with John Feliciano out with a neck injury, it might give them kind of an out to move him into guard without hurting his feelings or whatever. Like, yeah, John, we need you at guard, but he really needs to be at guard. If you have Ty Nsekhe at right tackle, who's doing a very good job, keep him there and move Cody Ford into right guard, and the whole thing will just be better off. Then maybe next summer he can continue working on his footwork and, you know, maybe transition to right tackle, something like that. But right now it is not working, and it really needs to stop. Let's get to your questions now here at Buffalo Rumblings Q&A.
Hi, this is Erin from Albany, New York. And my question is, how do we improve our third quarter performance? We have been flat in the third quarter and cannot afford to be so against the Patriots. Also, how do we manufacture pressure on Tom Brady to move him off his spot? Go Bills!
Hi, Erin. Thanks for calling in from Albany. Quickly about the manufacturing pressure on Tom Brady. I think over the years it's been proven that just getting in his face with four defensive linemen, pushing the pocket with defensive tackles and coming around the edge with defensive ends is the best way to attack him and drop seven guys into coverage. They're going to be able to do that, a little bit of that, with Lorenzo Alexander, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, and Trent Murphy. Also some of the backup guys like Shaq Lawson. It's disappointing that Harrison Phillips isn't going to be able to participate in that with his torn ACL, but that's how the best way to do it. And even if they're not getting to Brady, being able to get their hands up and bat down passes, which is something they've excelled at this year, is something they're going to really have to keep focusing on. Brady gets the ball out in, you know, less than 2.5 seconds. And so he's so quick with his release that getting to him is might not be an option. They might not hit him at all. They might not get any sacks on him at all. But if they can get their hands up into the passing lanes and knock things down, then I think they'll have a really nice chance. They also have Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, who are going to probably drop down into those A-gap blitzes, either fake or real. And if they drop back into coverage, get into those passing lanes and be able to tip some passes, knock some passes down. So that's, I mean, really how you attack Brady with the defensive front four. Going to the first part of your question about third quarter performance, I think it has a lot to do with how young this team is. And I know that there's a lot of players on this team that are veterans, that are savvy, that are older, but a lot of the heart and soul of this team, whether it's Tremaine Edmonds or Tre'Davious White on the defense, even Harrison Phillips on the defense, you go to the offense and Josh Allen, and a lot of those contributors on offense are, Deion Dawkins is a captain. They're all really young, and they play with a lot of emotion because they haven't necessarily been there, done that, as we talk about sometimes. And so when they're coming out in the first half, they're a little bit amped up, and they are, you know, just ready to put their best face on. And then when it's time to come and make some of those halftime adjustments, they start to come down. They start to get a little bit more calm. They start to not be able to feed off of that emotion. And I think that there's a correlation between the Bills not being able to close out games and what's going on there with those young players. I just think it all kind of comes back together with the fact that they're young and still kind of riding the ups and downs of the emotions from the beginning of the game. And as they get more experience, as they play in bigger games, that's hopefully going to go away a little bit. Thanks for your questions on our phone line at 716-508-0405. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Back to the phone lines again at 716-508-0405.
Hi, this is Patton from Tampa. Given the coaches and team's growth mindset, it seems like these three wins have given the Bills a lot to work with. I think if they had dominated these games, it would have risked overconfidence. Instead, they know they're a good team with the potential to be great if they work hard. How do you think this might come into play and impact the Patriots game? Thank you for taking my question.
Hi, Patton. Thanks for calling all the way from Tampa with your question. I actually really like this question about the growth mindset and being able to overcome mistakes and learn from them. The Bills have consistently tried to call themselves the underdog all year, and really since Sean McDermott got here. But there's going to come a point in time, if they do what we think they're going to do this season, that they're not going to be the underdog anymore. And so they're going to have to go based on this growth mindset. These three games have given the Bills a lot to work with in that case. They still have warts. They still have things they need to work on. And Coach McDermott and the rest of the coaching staff can really focus in on those things, whether it's coming out in the third quarter and actually executing, or even just the pass blocking or not dropping passes, all that stuff. They haven't played anywhere near a perfect game so far. And so if that's what they need to use to motivate this team going forward, I think that's a good thing. They're not going to have to do that this week against the Patriots because everyone's going to get their dander up to play the Patriots. But eventually when they play the Titans the week after that, with the bye week after, it's going to be a time where they really need to dig down and find that motivation. And the overconfidence thing, the emotion of the game, the things we talked about in the last question and the last answer, I think it all kind of plays together. I don't know if they're overconfident, but they certainly come in amped up and confident in their abilities. And at some point that wears off and, you know, muscle memory needs to take over and what you called the growth mindset needs to continue moving the team forward, whether it's in the game or after the game. So I really like how you kind of frame that. I don't think they're getting a big head. I don't think McDermott's going to give them a big head. But even in the Giants game, those guys went in thinking they were the underdogs, even though they were favored by most sports books on the road. So it was just interesting to hear their comments after the game saying that, you know, nobody's picking us, nobody's believing in us. And, you know, I get what they're saying, and that's kind of how they're approaching things. But it's Patriot week. I don't think they're going to need to lean on any, you know, old, tired underdog mentalities this week. They're truly going to believe they're the underdog, even though they're at home playing the New England Patriots and both teams are at 3-0. Thanks for your question from Tampa. Thanks, Patton, at 716-508-0405.
Hey guys, this is Benny in Horseheads. I just wanted to follow up on why you guys think that Sean McDermott is just so conservative. Each of the last 2 weeks, the Bills have had the ball before halftime with ample opportunity to move it. In the Giants game, they had two drives where they did absolutely nothing, including taking a knee with two timeouts. And then yesterday, same thing. They started slow on the last drive. They ended up getting some yardage and then decided, oh, I guess we can move the ball. Let's actually try. But unfortunately, it ended with a long field goal attempt because they basically squandered a minute because they weren't sure if they actually wanted to try to score. It just seems like once they get up 14 points, McDermott just wants to go into coast mode.
Thanks for your question, Benny. I was really critical of the way Sean McDermott handled the end of the first half against the New York Giants and was at least a little bit happier when they decided to try and score points at the end of the first half against the Cincinnati Bengals. Like you, I wasn't thrilled with how they did it. I was wondering why they were wasting so much time. They got the ball back with about a minute and a half left, and yeah, they were a little bit deeper in their own territory, but it took them about a minute to get up to half field. And so now you've got 15 seconds and one timeout or 20 seconds and one timeout to get into field goal range, and you end up with a long bomb that didn't connect, and then what would have been a career-long field goal for Steven Hauschka. I didn't love that. I think they should have been moving a little bit faster. And then once you get, you know, across midfield, then you can start looking at, you know, slowing it down a little bit if you're worried about giving the Bengals the ball back at the end of the half. And so if you get over midfield with, you know, I don't know, after 30 seconds instead of a minute, let's just say, and so there's 50 seconds left on the clock, you've got one timeout, now you can at least attack the middle of the field still. But once you get down to 30 ticks on the clock and you're at the 50-yard line and one timeout, it makes it really difficult to attack the middle of the field because now you're using your only timeout. And then they were down to 20 seconds at midfield, and it seemed like not the best two-minute drill. So I agree with you on that. At least he did go and try to do something. To your other point about how when McDermott's teams get up by two touchdowns, they kind of coast. I fully agree with you. I think it's part of losing that edge that we talked about before. They get comfortable and they lose the edge that they've had all game trying to build that lead. And so when they get up by two touchdowns or the equivalent of two touchdowns, they sort of take their foot off the gas, and then it takes them a little while to kind of re-engage it. We saw it with the Jets in week one. They did the same thing. It's one of those marks of a young team, and it's going to have to come back and bite them once or twice before they maybe realize it, that two touchdowns isn't enough. And McDermott this offseason got a little bit of criticism for saying 21 points is what he wants the offense to score. And I mean, if you look at his teams, they've been holding teams under 20 points. So I get that they think if they can score 21, the other team can't score 21, and they're going to be able to win a lot of games that way. But they aren't going to be able to win a lot of games in the playoffs that way. And that's kind of where I keep coming back, is that they might get to 9 wins or 10 wins or 11 wins with that kind of mentality, but it's not going to work against the Chiefs or the Patriots or maybe even the Ravens. So they're really going to have to work on that going forward. Thanks for your question at 716-508-0405. Our Twitter question of the week comes from Ronnie Eastham, who asks us at Buff Rumblings, Josh Allen extending plays almost cost the Bills the game. He's got to make better decisions when under pressure. But I'm also concerned about line play, or is it poor protection calls? It's an interesting question from Ronnie, because it's impossible for us to know all the protection calls and who's responsible for what. But the more I look at where pressure is generated by opposing teams, the more I think it's just guys losing one-on-one matchups on the offensive line. Cody Ford, in particular, that I talked about earlier in my little rant at the beginning, he's been allowing several pressures from the outside against the Giants and even on the inside against the Bengals. Guys are getting beat. Deion Dawkins is getting beat once or twice a game, and then Josh Allen's getting flushed. That's what happened when Geno Atkins came up with a sack early in the game against the Bengals. The other pressure that's coming is from guys losing one-on-one matchups for the most part. It's not that the protection has been set poorly, that there's overload blitzes. It's that there's just a breakdown. Now, the other thing about this is Allen is holding on to the ball almost as long as anybody in the NFL. He's holding on to the ball an awfully long time. And so sometimes it is his fault. He's not finding, you know, the quick route. He wants a longer developing routes to develop. He really likes throwing intermediate passes somewhere in the 8 to 15 yard range. And those take time to develop. So he's not hitting Cole Beasley on the slant. He's looking a little bit further down the field, and that means his linemen have to block for a little bit longer. So all that kind of comes into this soup that is the Bills' offensive, you know, struggles against pass rushes, even pass rushes that aren't very good, like the Giants. So all of it kind of comes together in that I don't think it's necessarily the pass protection calls. It's what they're asking the offensive line to do. It's what they're asking specific members of the offensive line to do. And the Bills are going to have to either scheme through that or, you know, just start getting the ball out a little bit quicker from Josh Allen's hand, which would probably take away a lot of the good things that he's done. And like a 3rd and 17, there's no doubt that Josh Allen can convert that because he loves throwing those 15, 20 yard passes. So he's been finding guys on 3rd and long and converting. And you don't want to take that out of his game. But at the same time, it's more difficult for the offensive line to hold up for that long. Thanks for your question on Twitter at RumlingsQ&A. This one was sent in to at Buff Rumlings.
Hey, it's Sawyer from Hampton, Virginia. I'm just wondering if we can beat the Patriots on Sunday and if we can make the playoffs.
Thanks for calling in at 716-508-0405. Yes, the Bills can beat the Patriots. Yes, the Bills can make the playoffs. I've already talked about that playoffs thing for a second, but let's go back to the first part. Can the Bills beat the Patriots? Everyone's talking about the Bills' strength of schedule so far. They've beat the winless Jets. They beat the Giants, who are only who have one win just because the Bucs kicker missed an easy chip shot field goal, and then they beat the Bengals, who are winless as well. So the Bills haven't played anybody that's good. Okay, great. Look at who the Patriots have played. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are winless, the Jets, who are winless, and the Dolphins, who are winless. You can only play the guys on your schedule. Now, the Patriots' wins have been more convincing because, as we've talked about, they know how to put a team away. The Bills haven't learned that yet, but the Bills are still undefeated, just like the Patriots, because they've been able to make plays. I think the Bills can definitely win this game this weekend. The first half, the Bills need to build a lead, because as we've seen so far, they're going to calm down in the second half, and Bill Belichick is a very good halftime adjustment person. So is Tom Brady. And so the Bills are going to have to build a lead in the first half so that they can survive the rough patch that's probably going to come in the third quarter. Thanks for your question at 716-508-0405. Finally, I wanted to make sure I let you guys all know about the new podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network, The Mafia Mavens, with Danielle and Robin, is the newest podcast. We've got lots of great content for you on the podcast network. They're our newest show, kind of from the female perspective. Robin comes over from the Buffalo Bills message boards, so you may know her from there if you've been a longtime online fan of the Buffalo Bills. And Danielle is our social media manager. Robin also is the editor-in-chief at the Bills Mafia website. So lots of great content from some really intelligent ladies over there at the Mafia Mavens podcast. Make sure to add that to your rotation. You can always look at which Buffalo Rumblings podcast you're downloading by the first bit of it. We always put the show title in there so that you know which show you're getting when you're downloading it from the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. The next time we will chat will be after the Bills play the New England Patriots, hopefully moving Buffalo to 4-0 on the season and into first place in the AFC East by themselves. After that game, make sure you call in your questions at 716-508-0405. Tweet us at RumlingsQ&A. You can send us messages on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. You can leave comments in the comments section at BuffaloRumblings.com. You can email us BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. Lots of ways to get in touch with the show. We've read your reviews on Apple Podcasts. We've made changes to the show, so keep doing that and go Bills.
The